You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, this has been quite a year, Dr. Martinelli. There are so many things that have happened this year. You just think that it can't get any worse, and then it does.
I don't know what to say about this year. I think when everything is said and done, I'd like to just take this year and put it in the trash can. I am so embarrassed about the United States of America, not our country. I'm embarrassed about where our country appears to be going. And the divisiveness, the false narratives, the communist rhetoric and propaganda, a complicit news media, absolutely out of their mind, psychiatrically certified whack job politicians. And it just doesn't seem to end.
Well, and now we have the passing of Justice Ginsburg. And you know, I'm with everybody else who thinks that she was certainly a trailblazer. She certainly lived her life the way that she chose to live it, and she certainly upheld her own standards. We certainly had differences of opinion on how things should go, because Justice Ginsburg was one of those justices that is more of an activist justice rather than a constitutionalist. And I will take a constitutionalist justice any day of the week over somebody that thinks that they should be making law from the bench.
I absolutely agree with you. And I get tired of it. I get, you know, as a person that spends quite a bit of time in federal court and also state court, you know, I listen to these jurists and how they, you know, come across on the bench and how they make rulings and things like this. And sometimes, hey, look, you know, full disclosure, I'm not an attorney, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn once, and I'm certainly not a jurist. But the things that come out of their mouths sometimes, and the mindset and the way that they think sometimes when they are trying to make a ruling that it is an advocacy ruling instead of a constitutional ruling, that really bothers me. Because how do you have a rule of law if you have people on the bench that either misinterpret the Constitution, don't even involve the Constitution, get emotionally captured in a case, and basically make up their own law? Because that's what you do when you make a ruling of the bench that is not based on the rule of law and does not have a foundation in constitutionality. That's what you're doing. You're just making stuff up. And I don't think we need this, and I don't think the American public deserves it.
Well, and this is happening all over the country. This is one of the very big things that people need to pay attention to when they vote, Ron, is their down ballot. Because I think that people, they know who's at the top of the ticket. And they know that it's President Trump, and they know that it's Joe Biden. And they might know some other big names. But the people on the down ballots in their states are so very, very important to know who they are and what they stand for.
Spend just a moment to explain to our friends and followers what you mean when you say the down ballot. What does that mean, Linda?
Well, the down ballot is all those people underneath the president. You know, you have judges, you have local politicians, you have you don't just have the federal offices on your ballots. Everybody in each state and each local area has state elections, they have local elections. And I don't care if it's the dog catcher, you need to know who you are voting for and what they stand for. And I absolutely am positive that most people who vote do not know people on the down ballot, and they just vote, well, this name sounds good, or, you know, I want to vote for a woman, so I'm going to vote for a woman, or I don't want to vote for a woman. But it is so very, very important to know what those people stand for, especially our judges that are on the ballots. So I mean, this is something that people really, really need to take the time to learn and to follow and to make an educated decision and to actually vote for those people on the ballot and not just vote for the people at the top of the ticket.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, to me, the difference is, you know, the federal elected officials have certain input into our lives, right? I mean, the President of the United States, for sure. Senators, congresspeople affect our general federal economy,
right?
You know, taxation, infrastructure, things like that. But it is the local candidates for office that really set the stage for the environment that we all live in. So a sheriff is an important position. A district attorney, prosecutor is an important position. Those people that are county commissioners are really important. You know, if you live in a town or a city, certainly your city council, your mayor are very important positions. For God's sakes, if you have children, your local school district and, you know, positions and your state board of educations are absolutely critical. And you have to take time to research, as you say, people on the down ballot to find out what they're all about, because they, what they're about may not resonate with your values and may cost you one way or another.
Well, exactly. And you know what? I do want to talk a little bit about that more in a few minutes. I, going back to the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, what is so disturbing to me, Ron, is the anger in this country over the president performing his presidential duty as the president. It is written in the Constitution or one of the amendments, I forget, that he shall, not that he can if he feels like it, but that he shall, which means you must.
It's a mandate.
Appoint somebody to, nominate somebody to be on the next justice of the Supreme Court. That is his constitutional duty to do.
And it's one of the most important things. Other than going to war, nominating Supreme Court justices is one of the most critical duties of any president of the United States. You know, I'd like to quote Ruth Bader Ginsburg for a moment while she was alive. And she said that the president of the United States doesn't stop being president of the United States a month out.
Yes.
He has to do presidential duties all the way until his last day in office. And that's not what the Democrats want President Trump to do.
No. And, you know, for her family to have said that her fervent wish was that they wait till they elect a new president. You know what? I don't even believe that she said that, because if she is true to her job as a Supreme Court justice, that's not something that she could say. That would be not doing the job that he was hired to do. Now, it is then the job of the Senate to take that up and decide if they want to
confirm
that person. So everybody is doing what they're supposed to do within the Constitution, within how our government works, and the hubbub that is going on in this country knocks my socks off.
Are you troubled by the intimidation by the progressive left?
And by leaders like Pelosi and Schumer, and I hate to even say it, AOC, the intimidation and saying, we are going to burn this place down. We are going to...
They go to the politicians' houses, the
yes.
GOP.
Well, they don't, but...
Mitch McConnell's house. They've been to a couple of other... Lindsey Graham's house.
Irresponsible rhetoric from our leaders causes exactly that.
Well, you know, here's a great example of the irresponsible rhetoric that you're talking about. Just recently, Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, said that if the Republicans confirm a new Supreme Court justice who is a conservative constitutionalist, they would have stolen, was the word he used, they would have stolen two Supreme Court justices. How wrong is that?
the rhetoric from Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer and many others is absolutely horrendous, and also from the lamestream media. I'm horrified at what they're saying, because they are the ones who are propelling people who don't have the ability to think this through on their own, don't know the Constitution, don't understand the responsibility of the presidency, to get out and think that they are somehow being screwed out of something and that they should fight over it. So now they want to say that they're going to burn down things, that they are going to stack the court when they get in. So here's what they're saying, Ron. They're saying, if we don't get our way, and if you don't kowtow to what we want, even though it's not constitutionally the right thing to do, then we are going to punish you by stacking the court, burning things down, looting, doing all of these things that they have said that they would do, impeaching the president.
By the way, I thought that was amazing.
Oh,
okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, when Nancy Pelosi said that, and I don't know if you know, but Adam Schiff, you know, one of the politicians that we love to hate, that comes from the Burbank area in Southern California, he already approached the Department of Justice about getting more information, more documents about Trump, so that they could, you know, go forward with an impeachment process. And Bill Barr, God bless him, said, no, we're not going in that direction.
Well, and you have Hillary Clinton on television telling Biden not to concede the election, telling people that President Trump should not be picking the next Supreme Court justice. These are wrong things. And what they're counting on for the people of America is that the people of America are not smart enough to know what is right and what's not right. And I got to tell you, I very rarely am a Facebook user. And somebody sent me a private message yesterday. And so I went on to look at the private message. And then after I was done with the private message, it bounced over to Facebook. And the first thing I saw was a great big post from somebody that apparently is on my Facebook that, you know, was like, oh no, this is not going to happen, and just the vitriol. And then down from there, all the people that respond, the absolute vitriol that I read, I mean, it forced me to just say, no, I can't even have these people on my Facebook. I just don't understand. Well, I guess I do understand, unfortunately, that the mentality in this country is so anti-Trump from a lot of people. They continue to call him a liar. And you know what was also interesting to me, Ron, is that they cited their sources as all of the left-wing media, the CNN, the MSNBC, ABC. Those were their sources for everything. And I looked at those things, and you know, you and I spend quite a bit of time researching things to try to be as factual as we can when we have a conversation with one another and with the people of America, as we're doing now, right? The misrepresentations of things just were horrifying to me. And I realized that I'm seeing just a tip of the iceberg of what's out there. And it really makes me sick.
Well, and that's what's happened. And even in the little town, you know, that we live in here in, you know, southwestern Texas, and we're not too far away from San Antonio. You know, we're about 25 miles away from San Antonio. We live in a beautiful area, but it's a conservative area. And I think in the last election, I think they voted well over 90% conservative. And so there is a, you know, a social media site for people in the community to jump on this site. And I just got associated with this site just recently. And so I'm just kind of interested in seeing what people are posting. And there was a woman that came in and posted putting down the Trump train, our local Trump train. And what had happened is somebody that had flags on their car parked it in our beautiful downtown area, which is basically our main street. And somebody came by and they threw hot chocolate on their truck and hot chocolate on their American flag and their thin blue line flag and a Trump flag. And so the people, rightfully so, were angry. I mean, now they were in a restaurant and eating or something, and so they never saw this happen. But they did complain about it on social media. Why do we have to have this? And this woman, you know, posted, oh, these are the same people that thought it was hilarious for New Yorker business people to, you know, spray paint or paint Bill de Blasio and Mario Cuomo, you know, the mayor and the governor of New York. And she said, these are the types of, you know, people that do that. And I took her on, and I did it very professionally. But I said, look, let me make an analogous situation for you. Let's say in our little town, with COVID, the COVID had been mismanaged, and we lost hundreds and hundreds of our senior citizens. All of our business closed down. And then at the same time, agitators came into town and called our police racist killers. And then the city council and the mayor backed those people, defunded our police department. And
as they burned and looted
our businesses. As then they began burning, looting, assaulting people. And now all the restaurants are closed, all the businesses are closed, and everybody's going broke. And I said, would it not be a peaceful protest to spray paint on a city street that everybody pays taxes for a derogatory comment in a way of protesting without burning, looting, throwing rocks and bottles at police? And I said, you know, does that make sense to you in your little woke world? That's what's going on even in our little town.
Well, I thank heavens that none of that happened in our town.
Well, it was an analogy, right? But then what I did is I checked her on social media. She doesn't even live in our community. She doesn't even live in our county. She lives in San Antonio, 25, 30 miles away. And these are, I guess they're called trolls. But what we're seeing is people increasingly on social media come in and agitate and stir the pot. That's where this country has unfortunately gone. And now it has reached, you know, our little community, which is what I've warned people about all along. Watch out for the progressive left.
Well, you know, it's much worse than that. There's huge donors to these protests and these campaigns and these leftist movements, these far, far left progressive movements.
Like ACT Blue. And they're donating tens of millions of dollars.
There's a place called the Sunrise Movement that just this election cycle donated $500,000 from the 1630 Fund. There's just so much dark money out there. And they deny that it's dark money, but it has been found and it's there in the billions of dollars. That's a very hard thing to counteract.
It is. Well, let's do this. How about our next cup of coffee?
You got it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com, dronmartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Just to finish what we were discussing before our break, one of those money organizations that funds all of the left-wing causes spent $141 million on more than 100 left-wing causes during the midterm election year. So those were things like pushing back against the nomination of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, weighing in on voting laws and minimum wage ballot measures, all the things that kind of go against the conservative agenda, and you can see that they're throwing in so much money. One single donation was $51.7 million. I mean, you know that no person can donate that much money, so because of election laws. So they are, you know, getting funded from somewhere. And Politico had reported that that money by itself was more money raised in an entire year before President Trump was elected. These places are making silly money, and they are spending it to beat us at the polls, and they are spending it on every left-wing cause that you can possibly think of to further push this country towards socialism.
Oh, I think it's far worse than that. You know, Linda, in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, I had an entire chapter about people who fund the Black Lives Matter movement, specifically people like George Soros, and then celebrities, entertainers, major sports figures, Beyonce and Jay-Z Carter, Colin Kaepernick. We've gone so far beyond what I wrote about in my book, and now we have, for instance, 22 major tech and other corporations that deliberately fund the Black Lives Matter movement, which is an avowed Marxist, black nationalist, anti-democratic government, anti-law enforcement movement. It is a radical militant movement, and they are responsible for looting, burning, the shooting and assassinations of our police officers and other individuals nationwide. And you know, the founding members talk about being avowed Marxist communists. I don't understand what the issue is. George Soros. Well, first of all, Beyonce and Jay-Z Carter funded $33 million, and back in 2014 when we had the Michael Brown Hands Up Don't Shoot situation, Soros and Beyonce and Jay-Z Carter paid for mercenary protesters and agitators to come into Ferguson and riot. And they ended up burning what? Mostly black-owned businesses.
Well, and you see, even in front of the White House after Justice Ginsburg's death, you see all of these people that are there. I promise you, most of them don't even know what they're there for. They are paid agitators to start
Correct.
Something up.
Because whenever anybody talks to them and they ask them a simple question, the people can't respond to the question. So you know they're paid agitators from God knows where.
This one shadowy dark money group, it's called Arabella Advisors, is a conglomerate of things. In 2018, Ron, they raised billions of dollars for their causes, and they spread it out. And the plan is that groups like this are planning on absolutely carpet bombing towards the end of this particular election season, and throwing all kinds of money in towards the Biden and the leftist candidates. If you compare the money that they took in just in 2018, $635 million, and now they have reported revenues much higher than that. The Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative group, which I donate to, I like their work a lot. I mean, their entire amount of money that they bring in is closer to, you know, like under $50 million. So they're not even close. In fact, I think it's more like $18 million. I don't know the exact amount, but they're not even close. So the conservatives don't have this huge group of socialist-leaning people throwing money to help us get our victory.
Right. Well, you know, and I want to go back to George Soros and how critical he is as far as being the puppeteer and, you know, operating the marionettes behind the curtain, because he's got, and of course, George Soros is a, you know, he's a currency manipulator, he's a twice convicted felon. What does he do? He doesn't care about black people, you know, Black Lives Matter, he didn't care about that. But between his Open Society Foundation and his super secret Tides Foundation has just piled in tons and tons of money, not only to Black Lives Matter, but more importantly for people on the local level, funding the candidate prosecutors that have turned out to be just absolutely abhorrent prosecutors. So that's been a real problem.
Sure. And just to correct myself, whereas that organization, the leftist organization, took in $635 million in 2018, the Heritage Foundation took in $82 million. So you can see the disparity there in the funds. Anyway, we can expect a lot of money thrown at this. You know, I want to comment on a speech that you gave a few days ago. And this was a speech that was really related to one of the Trump trains, but some of the more local politicians and state politicians came out to speak. And we had the opportunity to listen to what they say. And I think it was a huge wake-up call for us. And that's why I stress to people to know what's on their down ballot, because even though these people would have been on my radar to vote for, now they really are, because I absolutely understand what we are dealing with and the challenges that they are dealing with.
Yeah, it was a very popular Republican candidates forum. And, you know, the people that really stood out that came to speak to that forum, there were two jurists, okay, so two judges. And, you know, I just want to point out, you know, who they are, because I was so impressed with the credentials, the education, the training, the experience of these two jurists. So we have Renee Yonta, who's running for Chief Justice for the Fourth Court of Appeals in Texas, which is a pretty significant place. Chief Justice, she's been a district judge for 7 years. She is one of the only jurists that is board certified in civil appeals. And you know me, I hang out in civil court all the time. And that's the kind of stuff that you really need to be up on. She's a legal scholar. She's been a law professor for years. And she was absolutely mesmerizing when she came up and speak. But equal to the task.
Well, before you say that, I want to say something about Renee Yonta, because I also admired her greatly. She is uniquely qualified for that position. She has more qualifications than anybody that is running against her. Now, what I also will say is, Texas people, pay attention. 2 years ago, when we had an election, or 4 years ago, was it two
no,
years
I think
or
it was
four
2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah,
when we had an election, we had, there's seven judges on that court, I believe. We had six Republicans and one Democrat on that court. After that election, where we had Beto O'Rourke running, we ended up with the opposite. We ended up with six Democrats and one Republican. And we need to reverse that. It matters to the people whose appeals, it matters to all of us, each and all of us in the state, when something happens and your case goes to appeal. Some cases go automatically to appeal. For example, a death penalty case automatically goes to appeal. Those decisions made by these courts matter to our everyday lives, and it's so important to know that you have to vote for the people that have the most common sense and that rule fairly and justly and constitutionally.
Well, I'm glad you said the last word, because to me that's the most important thing. And then, you know, speaking of what you're talking about, you know, death penalty cases, for instance, are heard by the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. And one of the candidates that is running for re-election is Judge Kevin Patrick Yerney. And he is an amazing jurist. He's been elected statewide back in 2014. He's got it all. The guy's got the t-shirt, okay? Former prosecutor, former defense attorney. He was a judicial law clerk. The guy is out there, and he really explained, and I think for the people that were there, I knew a lot about this stuff, but the other people was kind of a wake-up call for what the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals does. And, you know, Judge Yerney was so articulate in expressing why we need to you know, pay attention. And so, and Judge Yeri really impressed me because he was able to articulate for the people that really didn't know very much about what the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals does and get everybody to buy into just how critical that position is and how important it is to get a constitutional jurist in there. So you and I are both huge advocates for constitutional judges.
Yes.
And I think that people really need to pay attention on the down ballot, as
yes.
you refer to it. And I hope they're going to pay a lot of attention to Rene Yonta for Chief Justice of the Fourth Court of Appeals, and also to reelect Judge Kevin Patrick Yeri to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals.
Yes. And there was somebody else that was at this meeting that blew me away. This was not something that I expected. And, you know, not having young kids anymore, you know, we're a little bit out of the loop about what they're doing in the schools, although I have griped about what they're doing in the schools ever since our kids were little kids. And I still do. I believe that our kids are being indoctrinated and they've taken out the good stuff of school and put in a lot of stuff that doesn't matter. She gave us a wake-up call, and this is the woman running for the State of Texas Board of Education. Her name is Lani Pope, but you spell it like pop, P-O-P-P, like almost like soda pop.
So just remember
Pope.
Lollipop.
Yeah,
and
no.
Who's ever got a name that's close to lollipop, right? Lani Pope.
Lani Pope.
Pope.
She was so very interesting about what is happening in the schools, and every parent in the country, and not just in Texas, probably least of all in Texas. So if you're somewhere else in the country, I would be even more frightened about what's happening in schools. In the public school system, they are taking over your parenting jobs, and they are abdicating your role as a parent, and they are taking that upon themselves to teach your children at very, very young ages about sex. And I'm not just talking about you know, the kind of health sex that you and I got in school, where, you know, little reproduction talk and that type of thing.
Yeah.
It is the textbook for a third grader. So Lani brought one of the textbooks that is used for third graders that shows full-on naked adults having full frontal intercourse in the book. And then a whole section about the different types of birth control you can use. And this is for third graders. As a parent, I want to teach my children what I want them to know when they are mentally and emotionally prepared to have that kind of a lesson. I do not think in any imagination that it's the school's job to teach this to my children.
You know, you were having that nice conversation with Lani Pope, and I walked over, and because you were looking at a book together, and this was the book that I saw that you're talking about. And when I saw those pictures, I was shocked by that. And it takes a little bit to shock old Dr. Ron here. But, you know, my question was, what the heck is that doing in a third grade classroom?
I wonder if parents in Austin know that that's what the textbook is for their children in school. And that textbook was sent to other areas in Texas, and those areas rejected having that textbook.
And that textbook is in California.
Yes. And there are many other textbooks that she talked about. There was a history book that had over 1,000 misrepresentations of our American history in it, and it was rejected, but other school districts are using it. She gave us some examples, and I don't remember all the examples that she gave. Lani is going to come and visit us, and we're going to do a Talking While Married with Lani and let people hear exactly what their children are learning in school that they may or may not know about.
Now, I thought I caught you and Lani talking about this checkoff list or whatever that was. Can you explain that?
Yeah, in the book, there's a checkoff list that says a whole list of things like, I'm okay with somebody touching my arm. I'm okay with somebody holding my hand. I'm okay with somebody touching me here or there, or and it gets more and more private and more sexual. And the child is supposed to check off what they are okay with, and that would connote the type of agreement or
the consensual agreement, right,
that they would have with the other person.
That's amazing, because
in third grade.
I could absolutely see that in a record being pulled up to as a defense mechanism for someone that had molested a child.
Absolutely.
Could you not see that? Here's documentation that
she
consented to that.
And not only that, when you think about that, here's how I think about it. That child is pressured to check off all these things, or is intimidated, and so they check off all these things, and then, as you say, that can be used in the defense of a child predator. You know, with California going to having sex be okay if you consent to it and you're 10 years apart, so
criminalized felony sex between a minor and an adult 7 years older,
10 years
or,
older,
or 10 years older,
yeah,
that is now being dropped from a felony, you know, down to a lower crime. And I think the most important thing is the registration, the sex registration. They're getting rid of the sex registration,
right,
which is lifelong. I used to be a sex registration detective,
so I can picture lots of 14-year-old boys very pressured to do something, and then the other person is never going to get in trouble. The direction that we're going in as a country is so wrong. So then Dr. Ron got up and spoke about the Black Lives Matter movement and
restorative justice
and the things that people also need to know, what progressives are trying to do in our country to take away our freedoms. And you know, one point that you have made, and I'd like you to talk about it for a second, is that when you vote for a socialist government, you only get to vote once.
Is in a socialist Marxist society, a political environment, once you've elected a Marxist or a socialist government, they fix it so you'll never be able to vote again. So just take a look at Venezuela. Take a look at Vladimir Putin's Russia. Take a look at any communist or socialist country. You get to vote, but there's so much corruption that your vote doesn't count anymore. And they're just going to keep that going, these dictatorships, you know, time infinitum. So that's what I'm talking about. So once you vote Marxist, you never really get a vote again.
Well, no, and not a vote that means anything. I mean, you might get a straw vote that doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
But yes, you're never going to get it. And you know, I'm sorry, but it's kind of what they're trying to do this time with this mail-in ballot thing. The mail-in ballot being because of COVID is, in my opinion, is baloney. Everybody can go to the polls. They go to the grocery store. They go all kinds of places. There's people out everywhere. So don't tell me that you can't go out and vote, or you couldn't have asked for an absentee ballot and voted that way.
Yeah, I mean, if, like you said, if you can go to HEB and pick up some groceries with your mask on, you sure as hell can vote, because those people are just as close to you as they are in HEB.
Sure.
And by the way, when you get into the voting location, they're going to keep everybody separated. I mean, they're going to be super, strict on social distancing. You're not going to be anywhere near that voting booth until you're ready to step in there. So people shouldn't have anything to worry about whatsoever. Get out there and vote.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the Vision of the Voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, I want to do a little bit of a potpourri of different things that are on my mind. You know, COVID is still on my mind a lot, and things seem to be getting better in most places. I'm not sure about all places. I haven't really looked lately, but one of the things that has continued to bother me, and I guess it's just a running theme through everything that's happening this year, is the false media on different things. So now we have Chelsea Clinton coming out and claiming that Trump is responsible for the 200,000 deaths in this country, when the reality is nobody actually even knows how many people have truly died from COVID, especially if they've had other comorbidities. And to blame the president for this, when this is a worldwide pandemic and there are huge numbers that correspond to the populations of the different countries everywhere in the world. So this is just ridiculous, and it's another fake news thing.
Can I interrupt for a second? Didn't I hear recently a rumor that Chelsea Clinton is going to make a run for the United States Senate?
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
So she's just sort of paving her way.
Sure.
I was kind of hoping she wouldn't be like mom, but maybe that's not the case.
Oh, no. She looks like her and she acts like her, yes. Okay, but you know, MSNBC, one of our favorite news stations, has had this doctor on during this whole COVID thing. His name is Dr. Vin Gupta, and he's been on as an expert on COVID, and he trashes President Trump every single time, and he says that everything that Trump is doing is wrong. Well, oh my, he happens to be on the Biden presidential team to elect Biden, with the desire and in the running to be Biden's Surgeon General.
So you can't make this
you
stuff
can't
up.
Make it up, and you can't trust anybody. And I want to know how Americans are living with the fact that they don't actually ever know what news is correct, because everybody is lying out there. And that's one of the reasons, and you know, I don't mind giving them a plug. It's one of the reasons I really love working with America Out Loud, because I don't see that kind of shameless lying to people from that station. And I see that their whole goal is a message of truth, and that's what we try to do here. And we try not to make mistakes, and if we do, we would admit them, but we don't go out and lie to people like these stations do. And it's just very frustrating when you see it, and I just don't know how America is doing it. But I do hope that America is seeing what's happening, and that those people that are good Americans, which I still believe are the majority of people in the country, do get out and vote. It's going to be a close election, and I hope that they, you know, speak with their vote what will hold us true to our American values.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. You know, talking while married is a coffee conversation between a common sense conservative couple, and what we try to do is vet the news, and we try to discuss the news, and also offer opinion. But you know, one of the things that I like about what we do together is that, number one, it's real, and none of our stuff is scripted, and it's just you and me having a nightly conversation like we always did before we did the show. And we've got nothing to sell to people other than, you know, we provide opinion. We do not ever tell people how to think. We tell people how we think, you know,
and it would and be, why we think that
and,
way
and why we think that right. way. And we try very hard because it's just in our work ethos and our ethics. We try to tell the truth. Now, can we make a mistake from now and then? Oh, sure. I think anybody can. Anybody that does opinion pieces, anybody that does commentary, anything that anybody that does what you and I do for a living when we do this show is one thing. But I absolutely agree with you, Linda, because I see so much of the outright lies and misrepresentations of the mainstream media. I mean, just the other day, McElhaney, took on Jim Acosta for repeatedly misquoting the President of the United States during the press briefing. And she had the actual quote, and she was reading him the quote, and he kept saying, no, that's not what it is, that's not what it is, and completely misrepresenting what the President's going to do. And the thing about that type of news, if that's what you want to call it, is very tedious, because everybody and their brother knows that Jim Acosta is not there to ask probative questions that are newsworthy. He's there because he wrote a book and he hates Trump, and he's there to make a statement. Now, I think they've got a lot of patience with the guy. I would have kicked him out a long time ago, and I think he was suspended once.
He was, but not for too long.
But after a while, and I'll just leave it at this, after a while, the more that they say it, and this is part of their strategy, the more that ignorant people, and I don't mean that derogatorily, I mean that people that are not informed when they have an opportunity to be informed, but they choose not to be informed, there go the ignorance. People that are ignorant of what the real facts are, they swallow that like Kool-Aid.
Well, they do, and they stick with, you know, one network to watch things, whether it be ABC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, any of the networks, no matter which side you're on. If you only look at one thing, then there's no discussion to be had, because they're going to tell you what to think. So the one thing that I believe...
There's Dizzy.
She believes it too. one of the things that I believe is that America talks in their homes just like we talk in our home. And, you know, we hear so much on the news that we don't know what to believe. And this is how we kind of get to a place of what we do believe, is by having discussions. Americans do this every day at their own dinner tables, in their own families, and we're no different than they are. We're just doing it on the radio.
Well, and what happened with the show, and we've talked about this a couple of times, and that's what our producer Malcolm Out Loud said. Hey, look, you guys, because he came over to visit us, right, more than once, and he said, oh my God, you guys really do this. And he goes, yeah. let's just put a microphone in front of you and call this a radio program.
Well, we really do talk, and we always have, and we discuss. You know, we don't always agree, as most people in families don't always agree, but that's how you get to some place of compromise, or some place of at least understanding. And because what you hear on the news every day is so suspect anymore that you can't believe it. Well, a couple quick things more about COVID is, while Pelosi and everybody now has a whole new thing to be angry about in the Ginsburg and the new justice fight here that we have, what's happening to America? They're not working on the stimulus plan for employers to be able to keep their employees. Well, a part of that plan had to do with the airlines, and the airlines desperately needed money to keep their employees, and now they're going to have to lay off thousands and thousands of employees. And it's so unnecessary, because Congress is not doing their job. They would just prefer to argue with President Trump than do their job for the American people.
Well, I think they just pushed through a temporary one-month stimulus package.
Keeping the government open.
No, I'm not going to say the word stimulus. You're right. Keep the government open for a
month. Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Right.
We need money for businesses to stay in business.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that they did is they have worked to scare people about the vaccine, so that it's not ready in the time frame that President Trump says, so that they can then use that against him. So now the manufacturers have said, the FDA has said, well, we'll give it another month of trials, and they've pushed it back for all the American people. Why? Because our selfish, self-centered legislators decided to scare the American people, and therefore they have delayed this life-saving vaccine.
So you want my impression on this?
I do.
Obviously, I think it's completely deliberate.
Of course it is.
I think they
is.
Want to scare the crap out of the American public so they don't go to the polls, and then they do not the absentee ballots, which are vetted, and everybody, you know, if you're scared of going to the polls, for God's sakes, don't do the mail-in ballot. Get the absentee ballot, which is a vetted ballot. But I think that's what they want. They want these people to use the mail-in vote and completely overwhelm the system, and we'll never find out who got voted in president of the United States.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are, you know, the American Airlines, for example, is having to cut at least 15 of their stops on airlines anymore, and they're not going to fly to certain places. I mean, there are real life effects for people that are happening because our Congress is not doing its job.
Nope, I completely agree. Hey, well, let me bring up something that's kind of got a burr under my saddle, and that is Fletcher High School in Neptune Beach, Florida. So what's going on with Fletcher High School in Neptune Beach, Florida? Well, last year in August, a corporal by the name of Andy Lavender passed away suddenly after 29 years on the job. And his son is on the football team at Fletcher High School. And so the son and members of the football team wanted to bring a thin blue line flag out onto the field at the beginning, you know, when you do, you know, national anthem and we show the colors and everything. Well, they also wanted to bring out a thin blue line flag to memorialize Corporal Andy Lavender. Now, Corporal Andy Lavender did a lot of volunteer work at Fletcher High School, so he was very well known. Worked, you know, not only I think as a RSO or a school SRO, school resource officer, but was also very involved in athletics. And he was known by a lot of people and respected. So what happened is that a few people complained about using the thin blue line flag, calling it a racist symbol. And we've heard that before, haven't we, Linda?
I don't even know how you could even remotely say that it's a racist symbol.
Yeah, well, the problem was that the high school namby-pamby principal by the name of Dean Ledford decided that this was going to be a controversial symbol that had no place, and he called it a political symbol, which is absolutely incorrect. Thin blue line, and I'm going to talk about it in a second for our friends and followers that, you know, see the thin blue line flag up all the time, or people wearing thin blue line shirts or hats or lapel pins and things like that, but they're really not sure what the thin blue line is. Anyway, he decided that it was a divisive political symbol and banned it from the school. Can you imagine? So what is the thin blue line? The thin blue line is not political whatsoever. It is a concept whereby we try to explain to people all over the world, not just in the United States and Canada and Mexico, in Italy, all over the place, that the thin blue line are the men and women of law enforcement that form a line of protection, a protective barrier, so to speak, between the criminal element and the innocent people. And
yes,
that's what they are. They put themselves out on that thin blue line and expose them to risk, right?
And
get
exactly
them injured and killed.
It is.
And that's what it is, and that's all it is.
Right, and they've made it something that it's not, and they have vilified it along with the police. And, you know, you and I have little thin blue line flags that we carry wherever we go. And if we see a police officer somewhere, we hand them one.
Yeah, we have our enamel thin blue line pins, mm-hmm. And I often give them out when, you know, people buy a copy of the, you know, the my Black Lives Matter book. And they look beautiful. They're very nice on a suit, very nice on uniform. And then we fly, along with the American flag and the Texas flag, we fly the thin blue line flag because we're a first responder family of law enforcement officers and firefighters. And we just believe in that. As a matter of fact, we've got the first responders flag, which is an American flag that has in the center of it, one half of it is blue and the other half of it is red. So if people who are our friends and followers out there, you see people with an American flag with a half blue and a half red line going through the center of it, that is the first responders. That honors the first responders in America.
Well, the last thing that I'm going to talk about, Ron, has to do with Russia. And they have a brand new nuclear-powered icebreaker in the Arctic.
I knew they were building that. I've heard for several years that they were going to build that.
Well, I'm wondering if they are going to, I guess that they're going to enhance their shipping capabilities.
But open up their shipping lanes.
What
Absolutely.
About the fishing, too?
Well, okay, so don't forget that that vessel, because people get stuck in the ice, right?
Right.
You know, commercial vehicles, commercial ships, all military ships, sometimes they get stuck in the ice. And they heretofore did not have a very powerful vessel to get out there to do that. And as a matter of fact, the United States is way behind the curve here. We can't afford to allow the Russians and the Chinese to build a fleet of nuclear-powered icebreakers because, militarily speaking, they will end up occupying not only the Arctic, but Antarctica. So I'm really worried about that.
And where I'm more worried about the crab fishermen. They'll have an advantage. Hey, I want to tell people how to listen to us on America Out Loud. America Out Loud, one of our favorite places to be, and the articles on which are absolutely amazing. There are some articles up there currently, which you can look at called, one is called The Dems Fiddle While America Burns. I love that article. And there are so many articles, they stay on the site. So each author, every time they write, it just goes into their queue and you can look at their articles anytime that you like. And while you're there, check out the articles by Linda Martinelli.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, let's give that website out. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, all one word, AmericaOutLoud.com. Now, the next thing is, don't forget that all of the programs, including the ones like Talking While Married, that you're listening to tonight, go up into the cloud, and they're available 24/7. And you know what? We get a lot of people that listen to us on the weekend. Now, we're on Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific time. But if you miss us, you're working late.
You can catch us on any of the podcasts. Links, you can listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts. You have your choice.
And you can do what we do and get the America Out Loud app on your smartphone, and you just plug that sucker into your car, and you can listen to Dr. Ron and Linda and all your other favorite talkers on America Out Loud. And I hope that you'll consider going on to the America Out Loud bookstore and getting my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. And it's also available through dronmartinelli.com if you want something autographed.
Just send us a note. And also take a quick look at wadejustice.com. That's WADEJUSTUS.com. That is Dr. Ron's fantastic new fiction series about a Texas Ranger, Wade Justice, who gets himself into all kinds of trouble and gets everybody out of it as best he can.